Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I'm going to talk to you today about closing the door to discouragement. Closing the door to discouragement. But before I do, I want to give some explanation concerning the leadership's decision about today. We did some research and studies in our county, our community, and the first 10 days of December, we had a certain amount of positive COVID cases in the first 10 days per day. And then the second 10 days in December, that positive COVID case rate went up 50% in our community. So that was one of the things we looked at, because there's a very large increase in this community, and we just felt like that, along with the more of the home gatherings that were happening during Christmas and during the holidays, that it would be best, it would be prudent, it would be wisdom for us to be able to not have in-person gathering service here. We would skip this Sunday for in-person gathering, but we would still do online, and we would meet next Sunday in person on normal schedule. I know that during these times when you make decisions like this, sometimes it can be interpreted as wisdom, and the elders and the staff got together and really prayed about it and looked at it and felt like this was one of the wisest things we could do. We did the same thing after Thanksgiving because of the gatherings and everything. But since our community had had a 50% positive increase in the cases, along with the Christmas gatherings, more large gatherings, we really felt like we were protecting you and protecting each other by foregoing the in-person service for today. And like I said, it can be interpreted by many as, hey, we really do appreciate it, and we thank you, and it's wise, and we appreciate it. But it can also be interpreted as being fearful. Well, I give you my word, it is not fear. It's not fear in the least. It's sort of like, you know, when we have those wintry days that we have ice and snow, one of the things we do is say, we're gonna cancel the services. You stay at home and stay safe. We need to look at these things and not really judge any church or any congregation or any of the leadership in the decisions that they make. And we need to trust our leadership, because we are spiritual leaders, and we want to guide you spiritually in your life and to help you grow spiritually. But you know, the Lord Jesus actually said that we are to help protect you as well. And by us saying stay home when it's icy, we're helping protect you from having accidents, maybe being in a ditch somewhere because you skid off the road or whatever. So we are protecting you with that. And because Jesus talked about their hirelings and their true shepherds. So when there's difficulty and trouble comes, hirelings usually avoid the decisions. Hirelings will usually say, nope, 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 we're not going to do anything. And but then we have shepherds that says, okay, I'll give my life. I will make this decision to be able to protect the flock. And and I'm not accusing any church by meeting, by any stretch of the imagination, of being a hireling. Every leader has to hear God, and we answer to God in all of our ways and all of our doings. So we just felt like in praying that this is what the Lord wanted us to do, and we follow him, and we will answer good or bad, whatever it is, you know, from God, you know, but we felt like we heard the Holy Spirit, and we wanted to keep you safe and keep you free and from these things. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel like this thing is not real, or it's blown out of proportion, and it could have been and could be blown out of proportion. But I'm telling you, there are people, even out of our congregation, that they haven't been here in over 3 weeks. The ones I'm going to mention, they haven't been here in over 3 weeks, and they wouldn't hear when they was sick or anything. But Andrea Morgan is in the hospital today and struggling to breathe. And actually, if she doesn't get this thing straightened out, they may have to put her on a ventilator. So it's very real. And we need to pray for her. Also, Mike Millwood is still in ICU. And he's still on oxygen. They're trying to taper his being on oxygen down some. And his wife, Teresa, is home. And she has COVID as well. And she's been sick. So we want to make sure that we pray for these. And we just have the reality of the sickness that is there. Everybody doesn't get it, but a lot of people do. So we want to make sure that we protect everybody. But we want to take just a moment to pray for these and all the others that are sick. But like I said before, they were not here during their sickness when they was feeling bad or anything. They haven't been here in 3 weeks, you know, the people that I just mentioned. So you just understand that you were safe when they were here, you know, over 3 weeks ago. So let's take a moment and pray for these. Father, thank you so much for Andrea and Mike and Teresa. They're wonderful, beautiful people. They belong to you. And Lord, they belong to the body of Christ. We lift them up. We intercede for them. We go into the gap this very moment, and we call into order their breathing and their capacity to breathe and to capture the very breath that you have put inside them. We ask you, Father, for a clearing of this COVID. We ask you, Father, that everyone that's even struggling from it, whether it's a small struggle or whether it's a huge struggle, we ask you in Jesus' name to bring healing to their bodies. Lord, raise them up. Show yourself to be strong. Show yourself to be the healer. And Father, we ask you for protection. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us. We worship you. We give thanks to you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Closing the door of discouragement. You know, it's how many of you believe with me that it's easier to start something than it is to finish? It's easier to start than it is to finish. It's a whole lot easier to get into something than it is to get out. If you've ever gotten into something and you wish, I wish I had never got into this. You know, and then it's easier to fill your schedule than it is to fulfill the schedule that you filled. Y'all know that? Yeah, so we have that. So it's easier to do that. It's easier to get into debt. It's just a signing of your name than it is to get out of debt. It's much easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's much easier to make a commitment than it is to fulfill the commitment that you made. I'm not saying it's impossible. I said it's easier to make a commitment. It's easier to say, I promise, than it is to keep that promise a lot of times. It's easier to start a race than it is to finish a race. You know, a lot of the races, the marathons that you see, they're just crowded people just lined up, just bunched together, and the gun goes off, and they all start, and they can't hardly even navigate because they're so crowded. But at the end, the finish line, it's very few. It's thinned out along the way. You know why? It's easier to start than it is to finish. And we need to understand that. And God wants us to finish the things that we started. But it's easier to find Christ as a Savior, yet it's a little harder to follow him as Lord. It's a challenge. It's called discipline. It's called sticking with it, you know, because a lot of people in their Christian life will start out well, but they will not end well. And one of the main reasons is discouragement. People get discouraged about a lot of things. They get discouraged about their finances. They get discouraged about school. They get halfway through college and all of a sudden they hit a wall. So why am I here, you know? It's hard to see how I got started, and it's hard to see how I'm going to finish. And a lot of times it is because of discouragement. And Jesus never told us that our life would be easy. Matter of fact, he actually told us that in this world you shall have tribulations. Now, that came from the very mouth of Jesus. So it doesn't sound like it's all going to be easy. But he did say this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why did he say that? The yoke is what governed Jesus. The yoke was the government of God resting upon his shoulders, as Isaiah said. But he realized that once he made the commitment to follow God, follow his Father. And he said, it's easy. Why is it easy? Because his yoke, he's made a decision. He's going to follow his Father. He's going to be led by what his Father tells him. And what he sees his Father doing, he's going to do. And in the process of all that, we go through. Sometimes he'll let us feel the pain. He'll let us feel the sorrow. He'll let us feel the difficulty. And all of that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It means he's teaching us how to follow him even when it's hard, even when there's a price to pay. See, the gift of salvation is free, but your maturity is going to cost you and I. As growing up into Christ will cost us, we'll have to make the decisions that we need to make that are in line with his word and following his Spirit. But if we get discouraged, we will not be able to mature in the way of being Christ-like. So discouragement is one of the things, one of the biggest things that hinders us from growing up and being Christ-like. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and see what the Bible says. But discouragement will rob you of your ability to dream. It will rob you of your ability to dream. Now, your dreams and aspirations, when you become discouraged in life, you won't even see any dreams. You won't even think about any dreams. A discouraged believer becomes powerless. A discouraged believer becomes powerless. Why? Because we have no courage. That's exactly what discouraged is. Discouragement is no confidence. No confidence. No courage. So when we don't have courage, when we don't have confidence, we become powerless in our walk with God. All of us in this room, all of us that are watching online, have one time or another become discouraged. Discouraged is common. It's common to man. And it's not going to happen to you just one time in your life. It will reoccur out of the blue somewhere. Someone will say something. Something will be done. And disappointment will begin to set in. And from that disappointment, discouragement can be activated if the disappointment is not handled. Does that make sense? If we handle our disappointments right, we will be less discouraged and we will have the courage to be able to go on and do things that he wants us to do. So today we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and see how some people started and what they were doing and what happened to them. So let's look at it and see what God has to say to us in all of this. So let's look at the next slide, please. It says, before I read this, let me give you the background. The children of Israel have been in captivity for 70 years. And once that they were captured from Israel and taken into Babylon and held captive there for 70 years. And then at the end of the 70 years, they were free to go back home. They were free to go back to their land. Well, in the process of that, Jerusalem had turned into ruins, shambles, rubble. The wall was down. There was no protection to the city. The city was dilapidated, and they were sent back. And they had some struggles in the process of that. Nehemiah came, called of God to lead this people into rebuilding the wall and rebuilding Jerusalem. So let's start here in verse 6. At last, the wall was completed to, what does it say? Half its height around the entire city. For the people had worked with enthusiasm. The people had a mind to work. Now, you need to understand, they're already halfway high. So they're in the halfway point. It is in the halfway point that it's hard for us to see how we got started, and it's hard for us to see how we're going to finish. So they're in the halfway point. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and Arabs and Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. You need to understand this, that the opponents, the ones that opposed God, were the ones that were furious that the Christians, the people, I say Christians for us, but the people of God were in the process of building the wall. Now, why were they so furious? I tell you why. Because they were the enemy was free to loot them anytime they wanted to. They were free to come in and do whatever they wanted to do. So they were seeing that being taken away. So they became furious at the people of God filling in the gaps and doing the work of God. And they became very furious about it. They made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Watch that. Throw us into confusion. That's what Nehemiah is telling this story, reading this and saying this. Said, okay, then when they start being furious, then we'll get a little bit confused. Why are they so confused? Why are they treating us this way? And then he says, but we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Next. Then the people of Judah began to complain. That's a big issue when we start to complain. Elijah was a mighty man of God. There's so many powerful things that he did, but he started to complain about some things, became fearful, and he was discouraged of what was being said to him by Jezebel. And it caused him to be fearful, and it caused him to complain to God to say, I am the only prophet. And the Lord reminded him real quick, you're nowhere close to the only one. You know, and he began to tell him that he had a lot more that was there serving him. So, and here's the complaint. The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be removed. The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be removed that we will never be able to build the wall ourselves. We're going to dive into this in just a moment, but we're going to read the next two verses. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. See, the enemy has a plan to end your work. If he could, he would kill you. He would take us all out if he could, but he can't. You know, but the enemy is wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. So they're saying, okay, without them even knowing it, without them realizing it, we'll swoop down, kill them, and end the work of God. Do you know the enemy still wants to end the work of God today? He wants to do everything that he can to destroy the things of God, the work of God, and the people of God. Next verse. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again. Another translation said 10 times. They kept coming. So these are the Jews that lived next to the enemy. Kept coming and telling them again and again. Kept repeating again and again. You know, you hear a lot of things repeated. If you repeat it enough, sooner or later, you may believe it, even though it's a lie. See, that's a strategy of the enemy to keep repeating the lie, so you will eventually believe that it's true. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to believe it, but they keep repeating the same lie, repeating the same thing, saying the same thing, over and over and over until they want you to believe what they say again and again. And here's what they're saying. They will come from all directions and attack us. They will come from all directions and attack us. I want you to first realize that in all of this, that the wall was already half built. That's a midway point. That's the point a lot of times that you hit the wall. That's a point that you can often get discouraged and not finish. Discouraged and not finish. But they came, and the next slide, please. So how does the door of discouragement begin to open? Number one, when something takes longer than anticipated. When something takes longer than anticipated, what happens is it causes weariness and fatigue. So what took longer? He said, look, they complained and said, we're wore out and we cannot keep this pace. We're wore out and we cannot keep this pace. That's what they're saying. The workers are tired. We can't do this. We're going to have to quit. We're going to have to stop. You know, so that's one thing. They wore out and we can't keep this pace. See, does this work? See if I can do this. Yeah, again. And watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 25. It says, they attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. Here's something when you start closing the door on discouragement. Get some rest. God created the earth at 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Rest. The best comes from your rest. If you fail to rest, and this is one of the, Christmas is so joyful, so happy, so divinely just glorious, and yet we're so tired and exhausted so many times during this season. Why is that? We haven't rested. We haven't properly rested. See, when we are fatigued, when we have not taken the time to get proper rest, we are vulnerable to discouragement, vulnerable to being disappointed, and being disappointed can often lead you into discouragement. And then when you're discouraged, you don't have the courage to go on. You don't have the confidence to keep going. It begins to hinder us. And actually, the enemy just wants to just set us over here on a shelf. Just put us over here and just be inefficient. Just stay over here. You just, and he tries to wear the saints out. He tries to wear out the people of God. But we have to make an effort. We have to make an effort to get adequate rest. No, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And all of a sudden, you become so weary and so fatigued that how many of you, let me just ask you this. Have you ever noticed being very tired and weary, and then all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth to your wife or your husband or your children or something that you wished you could have gotten back, but it only came out because because of weariness. It happens, right? It happens to all of us. And but we need to see that this passage here says you get attacked when you're exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. What does that mean? It means that when you're tired and weary, you're not keeping up with the things that you need to keep up with, and then you're back behind, and you're more vulnerable, like the animals. The predator animals will pick out the animals that are weak, that are weary, and that are straggling behind. They're not in with the rest of the flock. See, discouragement is very dangerous. Discouragement will take us places that we do not need to go. There's a lot of people that are discouraged with life. Discouraged, disappointed, and discouraged. One of God's answers is get some rest. And what that does, it helps clear your thinking. Why? Because you're not actively thinking, okay, I got to do this and next, got to do this next, got to do this next. No, we need to make sure that we get adequate rest. So another discouragement that opens the door, when something is more difficult than you expected. Something is more difficult than you expected. What'd they say? They said, too much rubble laying around. There's too much trash, too much rubble, and it brings you frustration and it brings you irritation. I give up. There's just too much here. I can't do it. Can't finish it. Why? Frustration and irritation. I didn't realize it was going to be this hard. And then you begin to ask yourself, why did I even start this? Why did I begin this? Why did I do this? Why? Because you see all this stuff. And they had all this rubble, all this trash, all this stuff that once was something, and now it's nothing. And it brings disappointment to us, and it brings frustration, and we become irritated. How many of you have ever been irritated? I'm talking to the praise team here, but I'm looking at hands. But we're being honest, you know. How many of you guys have been irritated before? You know, really, it usually becomes, there's something of a disappointment that we're, something disappointed us, and then we're just irritated. It's not going like I thought it was going. How many of you have ever had a plan? You had it all planned out, and nothing went like you planned. Nothing. And all of a sudden, we become irritated. Why? It's because it was either more difficult than we thought it was going to be. And that leads us to want to quit. That's what the people of Israel wanted to do. They wanted to quit. You know, the quickest way to discouragement is to feed your heart with what hasn't happened. When you begin to feed your heart with what has not happened instead of feeding your heart with what God has done, you know, but we feed on the negativity of it, what hasn't happened, then we become disappointed and we become discouraged. We become more vulnerable, but it's unresolved. A lot of unresolved disappointments will take you to the road of being discouraged. That's the reason when we're disappointed in something, that needs to be resolved very early. It needs to be resolved. Why am I disappointed? What's going on? Why am I feeling this way? You know, and one of the things we can do, is to spending time with God. You know, we need to find this place in our hearts that we will be gut level, raw, honest with God. I mean, no pretense, nothing of trying to clean yourself up before you go to Him and make sure you're just A-okay. No, we need to be gut level, raw, on and honest with God. Very simple. Instead of trying to pretend, well, it's really not that bad. Well, no, it is bad. You know, something's going on. You know, so we have this. He says, there's so much rubble to be removed. There's so much of this. So when you think about it, what is the rubble in mine in your life? What is it that needs to be handled? What is it that needs to be removed? Yes, it may look like it's a lot. I mean, we may have bad attitudes. We may have the wrong thoughts. We may have the wrong misconceptions. We have misconceptions about God, about life, about people. You know, what is the rubble that's keeping us from moving forward? Because that was hindering the children of Israel in building the wall around Israel, around Jerusalem. So you begin to see there's too much rubble. So let's look at this. Come, Lord, and show me. Watch this. Come, Lord, and show me your mercy, for I am helpless. You hear that? I'm helpless here. You know, I'm helpless. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm in distress. You see how honest, open, real? That's what God wants us to. He already knows where we are. There's no need for us to try to pretty things up and use religious-type words that sound a little bit better than say, I'm helpless here. You know, you ever been in a project before and you scratch your head and say, how in the world am I going to finish this thing? Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Right? And you see all these things that God is leading us to say, I just want you to rest. And then I want you to spend some time with me. I want you to be very open and honest with me. And I'll show you the things that needs to be removed. Y'all with me? I'll show you the things that He wants you to remove. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, why is it that you want us to be more and more like Christ? And I said, well, that's the purpose of God. That's your purpose on this earth, to be more and more Christ-like, to be more and more like His Son. That's His purpose. See, we do need to get born again. We do need to get saved. That's the beginning. But that's only the beginning. The rest of our life is learning the ways of God, following the Spirit of God, following the Word of God. You know, and yeah, it's going to get tough. It's going to get hard. But His way, His purpose, His saying, I'm going to follow my Father. I'm going to follow this. I'm going to do what He does, and I'm going to say, see, that was governing Him. He said, that's easy. Once it's settled, it's easy. Right? He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So He says, remove the rubble. So we have to think sometimes and say, okay, well, I'm fatigued because I'm frustrated because I see all this work that's being done that needs to be done, and I just don't know how I'm going to get it done. It'll be done. It'll be finished. But see, sometimes our timing is not His timing. And all of a sudden sometimes, and you think it's going to take a lot longer, then He shortens it and you get, then all of a sudden you find another way of doing something, another idea, another way of doing something, and it shortens the time. How many of you have had those God ideas that show up sometimes, and when you're in the middle of something and all of a sudden you do it differently, but it speeds everything up because that thought came to you. Look, we're not that smart. We're really not. We're not that smart. But He is. He's brilliant. And He's created a brain inside us that we use very little of. And I told that to Brenda one time. She said, I know. You know, when I said, I use very little of my brain, she says, I know. So we go on. So here's number three. What else happened? So when I start to doubt my ability to finish the task that God has given, I start to doubt my ability to finish the task that God has given. Well, how do we see that? We see that in when they say, we cannot finish the task. We cannot finish the task. This will cause us to feel inadequate and feel like a failure. You know, if you start thinking you're a failure and you always think from a failure's position, you will never accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. We'll never get there. God wants us to get there. You know why He said, that's the reason He said, I am the, what? You're going to say it. What? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the author. And what? See, He knew at the very beginning, we needed a finisher. We needed somebody that is going to help us finish, help us run this race, help us finish what He's given us to do. I'm glad He is the finisher. I so am. Yeah, He's on the cross and He said, it, listen to it. He said, it is finished. He didn't say He was finished. He said, it's finished. See, He's not finished. He is still praying, making intercession for us in the heavenlies. Still interceding. The Spirit is still interceding for us. Why? Because we need help. We need His prayer. We need it. He is not just author, not just the beginning. He's the end. You know, so this whole thing is about making, you know, the enemy wants us to feel inadequate. I'm just inadequate. I can't do anything. I don't feel like doing anything. I'm just nothing. I'm just nothing but a failure. Nothing but a failure. And it's really not true. You're more than a conqueror in Him. Amen? You know, when you look at this, you begin to think, this is so bad. I'm just, all of a sudden, everything comes to us. But we need to understand that God is using us in the process of building walls and going through things, even in life. God is using us to be there. Listen, to be there for others. This life is not just about you. Your life is not just about you. Your life is about sharing to other people, sharing with other people. When we fail to engage in sharing life, that's when we become so inward looking that everything's about me. I'm not done this. I can't do that. I feel this way. I feel that way. And God is wanting us to look at Him and see what He says about who we are. And then do what He says we can do by being empowered by Him. life can look so overwhelming. Life can look like it's like, man, this, you know, what am I, look at all this, look at this piling up on me. Look at all this rubble. Look at this stuff. Look how further we, look how much further we have to go. You know, see, life can look overwhelming. Just like he said, I'm helpless. I'm overwhelmed. But come show me your mercy. You may be feeling that way today. God is wanting to show you his mercy, his love, his life. And in the process of you receiving that from him, he'll take the discouragement away. And then he'll give you the purpose that you need when you hear from him and you decide, I'm going to follow him. He's not just going to be just my Savior. He's going to be my Lord. He's going to be the one who's going to guide me through his word and with his spirit. So these are the things the enemy wants us to stay like we're, I'm so inadequate. You know, when you look at it, in our own ability, sure. In our own ability, we hardly can do anything. We can't do anything, you know, but through him, we can do all things. All things. I would not have chosen me to be the pastor of this church. I know me. I would not have chosen me. But see, God sees way beyond how we see. And then he taps us and he says, you're it. You're the one. You know, and then we have to be convinced in that a lot of times. I don't want to be the one that plays the piano. I don't want to be on stage. I don't want, no. But God says, this is where I want you. Because you're going to live for me. You're going to live in me and you're going to let my life live through you. So you'll be able to do the things that you think are impossible. He said, I love them. God loves the impossible. Why? He gets to do them. He gets to show you and I who he really is and how much power he really has. You know, we start second guessing ourselves when we get this way, when we feel like we fail, we start second guessing ourselves. Why, you know, why is all this happening? What have I done to deserve this? You know, and then we lose our enthusiasm for living. Because they lost their enthusiasm. They started out very enthusiastic, very energetic. But halfway there, they began to get discouraged and continue on. You know, this is usually when self-pity comes in. Self-pity will help support discouragement. Have you ever had a pity party? Yeah, I hear some. Mm-hmm. You know who you invite to the pity party? You. Yeah, nobody else is invited. You know, because they may say something that they want to encourage us. So we don't want to invite them to come. Why? Because they may say something that's going to build us up. No, you're not invited. This is my pity party. And we start having self-pity. And that's one of the worst things that we can do, is start having these pity parties. You know, but it reinforces discouragement. And let's look at this. Let's look at this next thing. They say, we cannot finish the wall. We're just discouraged. We cannot finish the wall. Let's see, let's get one. Four. When you think about giving up because the opposition is growing stronger. The opposition is growing stronger. See, you saw where the enemy, you know, and that this causes us to be fearful. The opposition, the voices get louder of why you should not be doing this. Because the Bible said that they were furious when they found out that the work of God was still going on. You know, there's a lot of people furious because Christianity is growing. There's a lot of people that are furious because a lot of God's people are standing up, calling on God. Are you with me? There's a lot of people that are furious because they do not want, there's people that are dead set against anything that is Christian. We live in this kind of broken and fallen world. But guess what? For such a time as this, we're here. You're here for such a time as this. You know, so we don't need to have fear. So in the process of this, we see, meanwhile, the enemies were saying, before they know it, what's happening? We will swoop down and we'll kill them and we'll end the work. All we got to do is take them out. I saw something yesterday. that was on the news. I'm not watching much news lately, but for some time now. But I was watching some last night, and they had this guy on, and he was saying the world will be a lot better off, and it will be great when we cease to exist. Did you see that? Yeah, we cease to exist. And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. You know, all we got to do is cease to exist, and the world will heal itself. The world will, you know, God put man in this earth, in this world, to be able to tend it and take care of it. That's the domain, and that's the ways of God. So that this person, have to control what I'm saying. This person is saying, no, the world will be a lot better off when we cease to exist. You know, and how are you gonna cease to exist? And his main thought was, don't have any more babies. And then the reporter was talking to him and said, okay, so I mean, brothers, he only had four brothers and sisters together, you know. He said, so you just wish you didn't have any brothers and sisters. You just want to be the only one. You know, so when you begin to talk about it, they get scratching their head, you know. It's like, well, no, really, we got nothing. Well, you can't have it both ways. You know, so anyway. So you begin to see that. So they say, meanwhile, here the enemy is talking. They're getting more and more fierce of what they want to do. The enemy criticized the builders, ridiculed the builders, mocked the builders, and threatened the builders. You may as well get ready, if you're doing anything for God, to get criticized, ridiculed, mocked, and threatened. Threatened with your own life. Why? That's just the way it is. But he tells us, do not get discouraged when this happens. Do not get discouraged when this happens. So we look at this and we say, now watch this. This is interesting. Watch this. The Jews who lived near the enemy. These were the Jews that lived outside the wall, outside the camp. And they live near, here's one place that you don't want to live. You don't want to live near the enemy. So we need to make sure, hey, I am walking too close with this thing. Now, if he shows up, I understand, but you don't want to, but they live near the enemy, and they would come back. Now, who's doing the talking? The enemy. The people that were living near the enemy would come back to the workers. And who's doing the work? And it says, they told us again and again. And one version says, 10 times they kept telling us over and over and over and over. And what were they telling them? They will come from all directions and attack us. You don't need to be doing this. They will come from all directions and attack us. The enemy wants to continue to repeat his lies until you and I believe it, which we're not going to believe lies, right? So whatever lie of life that the enemy is telling you, you need to understand, do not believe the lie. Believe what God is telling you. And don't start living next to that negative voice from the enemy, and you start living with it. Another thing I didn't say about rubble, don't get used to it that you just ignore it. Don't just live with it. Just say, well, I'm just going to live. No, don't live with it. God wants it cleaned out. And even with this thing about the lies that the enemy tells you, don't just put up with the lies. Rebuke the lies. That is not true. That is not true. My God has started this, and my God shall finish this. And he's going to use me and you and you and you guys. He's going to use every one of us to finish what he started. It's his work. It's his work. And he's causing us to partner with his work. Don't be discouraged. Don't look at this thing and say, but don't feed yourself on negativity. Somebody negative, just understand, you know, I don't need to listen to this. Change the subject. Be positive. After a while, they'll get the message. You understand? They'll get the message. Hey, I'm in it for the long haul. Are you in it till it gets hard, till it gets rough, and then you're gone? There's a lot of people that feel that way about church. Something happens at church out of human failure, out of somebody's humanity, and all of a sudden, I'm not putting up with that. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I don't like the way they're doing it. I don't like the way they're... You know, where are you going to go where you'd like everything? Nowhere. It's not there. It doesn't exist. Do you know that God... You know, we try to do things that God even himself doesn't do. And here's what he doesn't. He doesn't please everybody. Right? He doesn't please everybody. How do you know that? Some people are praying for snow. Some people are praying, God, I hope it doesn't snow. Some people are praying for school to start. Some people are praying, I hope school never starts back. Some people are praying for this team to win. Some people are praying for the opposing team to win. He's not going to please everybody. So why should you and I try to please everybody? Our life of pleasure should be for him. You know, we try to handle everybody's pleasure and try to be the pleasure for everybody. That's not your responsibility. Make sure nobody's uncomfortable. Well, listen, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, because we're going to be uncomfortable sometimes, and we're going to need that comforting. Amen. I've got to close here, but see, don't feed on the negativity. So closing the door, here's how you do reconstruct should be whatever is not working. Whatever is not working. So what's not working, reorganize it. If this is not working, do it different. See, a lot of us are doing the right things. We just may be doing it the wrong way. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, is it right to witness? Yes, to witness for Christ. Have you ever done it the wrong way?
Absolutely.
Robbie, you act like you've done, so you have to do it differently, because you realize that didn't work out too good. Why? It was just done the wrong way. He didn't say stop witnessing. He said just do it. So do it a different way. Let me see here. I don't have time to go through all of this. What happened here? It's just skipping. Then regroup. Well, let me see, why is that doing that? There it is. Then here's what Nehemiah did. I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall that were exposed areas, and I stationed two things. He posted armed guards, and he stationed the people to stand guard by families. There's two points here. One is to refocus. On God's armor. See, we don't. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. We need to refocus. When we're under attack, we need to rethink. We need to think what God's thinking. God said, "I've given you armor. Put it on. I've given you armor. Put it on." When you put my armor on, you represent me. I'm representing you. You know, so put it on. So reconstruct, refocus, regroup, families. You won't be able to do this by yourself. Get into a group. If not your own family, get into a family group, church group, that will help you and encourage you in the process of when you start feeling discouraged. Get somebody that you trust is going to be positive in your life and not negative. I ain't feeling too good today. Well, I ain't either. So we're just in good company, I guess. So get somebody that's going to speak into your life and regroup, because you can't handle this by yourself. Remember, Nehemiah said this. He said, "Then I looked over the situation. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious.'" What did he do? He said, "I want you to remember something." You know, what do you remember about God? See, we need to remember what he's done for us in the past. He said, there it is. What do we remember? Remember God's goodness to you in the past. How many of you said God has been good to me in my past. God has really been. Remember that. Remember God's closeness to you in the present. Is he with you now? Absolutely. Absolutely. And then remember God's power for you in the future. There is a tomorrow for us if we live, and God's power will be available for us just like it was today when we got up. His power is there. So remember that. Then get real with God. I am completely discouraged. Revive me by your word. See the rawness of it? I am completely discouraged. Here's where I am. No, revive me with your word and get into his word. Get encouraged. Let somebody speak to you and hear what they're saying. And then the next one. I have it. If we're probably not going to do the rest of it there. So I got the rest of it here. Be real with God. And then the next one is to fight for our brothers. The Bible said in Nehemiah 4:14, fight for your brothers. That means resist the discouragement that is coming. Resist it. Well, you've got to be able to stand up against it. You got to be able to say, I'm not going to be discouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord because he encouraged himself in the Lord. So discouragement is a choice. Discouragement is a choice. We can either yield to it or rise up against it in God and finish the work that he's told us to do. And with that, he will get glory and you will impact and influence other people. They will see the hardship that you go through unwavered, but yet steady as you go and not being discouraged. See, a lot of people are discouraged about the election. I'm not discouraged about it. I'm believing. I'm standing and believing that America is going to awaken. I am, but I'm not discouraged about it. I can be if I listen to all the stuff that they want to tell me. See, sometimes you just have to take a break from all the negativity that's going on in the news, on Facebook. Listen, there's so much of it out there. It's like you can just read it one time. And it's like, and all of a sudden your mind starts going somewhere that shouldn't go. Is it true? One thing here. I was talking with somebody through text this week. This person was extremely discouraged. Work was rough. Work was tough. Work was hard. And they were exhausted. And they just did not know what they was going to do. Now, we prayed for this person. But you know what happened? One phone call, or one text, I think it was. One text came to them. And that one text had such an encouragement to this person that it changed their entire thought process. One text. The Bible tells us, encourage one another. Encourage one another. That's your choice. That's your call today, to be able to encourage people. Encourage them when you don't even know when they're in line, when they're wherever. Just have an encouraging word for somebody. You never know how much that's going to help them. So I hope you got something out of this today. And don't be discouraged. Get rest. Get some alone time with him. Restructure the things that you're doing. Just change it just a little bit. And look at it and just ask God to show you the way that you're supposed to go. He'll show you. And he'll lift you up out of the discouragement. And people who are watching you live your life before God and before men will be influenced by how you live it, because you're not going to stay down when you're kicked. When you're kicked down, you're not going to stay down. The righteous fall 7 times in a day, but get back up again. That's who we are. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue to do what God wants us to do without being discouraged. And when discouragement comes, we're people that's going to take action against it. And we recognize others that are discouraged. Give them that word that they need that turns them around for that moment, and they begin to see things different than what they're seeing at that time. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love, your life, and your word. And in the process of our living, God, bring us to places that when it's hard, when it's rough, when we're tired, show us how to rest in you. Show us how to believe in you. Show us how to look at you, and you let you be a well of refreshment to us during all of this. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. For all of you that's online, you can go to our website and look at the videos that we have for the children, for the nursery kids, and also for the kids' church. Watch it with their videos for your kids. Just watch it with them. They're just well done, and your kids, I know, will get a lot out of it. Until next week, we say God bless you, and we love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.